Well, good morning, everybody. We will welcome you this morning to our service and glad you're with us. If you're online, we're glad you're joining us this morning. It is a Communion Sunday, so if you're watching online, if you would like to go get your elements, it could be a cup filled, whatever you like to have, as well as a cracker or a wafer or bread or whatever you want to use for communion this morning. And so we're glad you're with us. Just a few reminders that right after the service today, if you have a teen that's interested in confirmation class, we'll meet back in the Senior Center for about 15 minutes or so just to go over things for confirmation and answer any questions you might have. So please join us there right after the service. Also, remember there are some different things that will be coming up as we begin slowly to be getting into Lenten season here in a month. It's hard to believe. So there will be some different activities that will be coming. So please keep your eyes and ears posted for those different activities. There are some daily devotions that are out there from Daily Bread, as well as the birthday list for February, and some other things on the credenza and the Welcome Center if you would like to take them with you. This morning, as we come together, and before we get started in a time of prayer, just want to lift up some individuals as well as give some joys as we're talking about birthdays. February is a very busy month for birthdays here in our church, and so we want to take time this morning to recognize the birthdays that have happened so far. So we want to say happy birthday to Maddie Burke, who had a birthday February 1st, and Rick Moser on February 1st. Heller Lozoyne was on February the 4th, Sarah Ford, February the 5th, Michael Douglas was on February the 6th, Peggy Hershey is on February 6th, which is yesterday, I believe, and Kendra Gerfin is February the 7th, Donna Hinkle, February the 8th, Mary Catherine Kelly, who is back with us this morning, and it's really good to see her back with us this morning after a few months of being away. Her birthday is February the 8th. Carrie Stanley is on February the 8th, and Jean Urban is February the 11th, and Jean's not here. She snuck out on me somewhere, so she's February the 11th, so wish her happy birthday as well there. Jim Walk back there is also on February the 11th, so we want to wish him a happy birthday too. And D. Lynn Eck is February the 12th, so just a chance to say happy birthday to them. So why don't we do that this morning,
and we're going to
sing
more?
Happy birthday, everybody. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Charlie, you know what? I had that written down. I just kind of just went over for somebody. So Charlie's tomorrow, and I apologize for that. You are correct. It was right there. I had them all scrunched down. There were so many of them. So we're going to sing happy birthday, everyone, on the course this morning. So Melody, if you would go ahead and take
Absolutely.
It away for us.
Okay, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you.
So after the service, you know, just talk to Jim or Charlie or Jean or Mary Catherine. Maybe they'll let you have some of their cake or something like that later on the week or whatever, and you can coordinate with them. So it's very exciting to be able to celebrate together this morning. Just some individuals to keep in your thoughts and prayers. Continue to keep Sally Lutz in your thoughts and prayers as well. And also Lily Keese is not here this morning as she was having some health problems. So if you would keep Lily Keese in your prayers. And like I said, it's really good to see Mary Catherine back here. And, you know, God answers prayers. And it's good to see her with us this morning with Charles in the back. So we're very thankful for that. So let us go to God and let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you're doing. We thank you, God, just for allowing us to be in your place of worship today. For allowing us to be called your sons and your daughters. We come this morning, God, and we say we are here because of you. And we offer ourselves to you now. We pray that you would bless our offering that was collected for us this morning. We pray, God, that you would pour your spirit on the communion elements that we'll have later on the service, that your spirit would be poured upon them, God, as we give thanks, remember what you've done for us. And so, God, now as we come before you now, fill us with your spirit, fill us with your presence, and help us to worship you. Amen. And if you're at home watching, we do want to pray for you. So if you do have a prayer request, you can go ahead and put that in the line and we'll get that. Or you can send a message from Facebook or to our church at cumc@comcast.net, because we also want to be praying for you this morning at home if you're watching. So let us now worship together.
Good morning. Psalm 22, verse 22 says, "I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." So let's stand and lift our voices together in our with our praise and sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Out to our neighbor. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on. Father's glory, place, Spirit, place, set our hearts.
Thank you, Melody. Today we'll be concluding our series on focus, and today we'll be talking about focusing on our mission. Let us pray together. We come before you now, God, and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we might hear you speak to us. We ask, God, that you would allow us to get a new glimpse and insight into your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. We've been talking about focus for the last several weeks, about how we are to focus on the good in life, how we are to focus on Jesus, how we're to focus on the future, and today we're talking about focusing on our mission. And I think the one thing that we are reminded when we come to the gospel messages and we come to this series is that we all are reminded that we all are ministers of the gospel. On some church bulletins in the very back, they will list ministers, the congregation, meaning that every single one of us is responsible for going on that mission field and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we talk about mission, we have to say, well, how do we come up with our mission and where does it start? Well, it starts with what God's mission is. And in order to think about what God's mission is, we kind of will jump back here to the Old Testament in Habakkuk chapter 2. And it's one of the clearest references of what God's mission is for us. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." That is why we exist as Christians. That is why we exist as a church, is so the entire earth can be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is God's mission for his church. To know from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth about him. So the question is then, well, what do we do with this? What do we do with this aspect of going from one end of the earth and filling the knowledge of those that need to know God as the waters cover the sea? And we have then to go back to Matthew chapter 28. Right before that Jesus is going to ascend to heaven, right before Jesus is giving his disciples final instructions. And we know this passage very well in Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. This is where his disciples are saying, well, Jesus, how are we going to carry things on if you're going to leave us? How are we going to do this mission that you've called us to do? Because you've been the one that's been spearheading it. You've been the leader of it. So what are we to do here? In Matthew 28, Jesus says this to them, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That Jesus is saying, go and fulfill what Habakkuk states. Go to all nations, to every end of the earth, so that individuals could know about my Heavenly Father and share with them so they might become disciples as well and know that I go with you when you do that. When we look at our church, when we look at our vision statement and mission statement, that's where it comes from. It's from Matthew chapter 28 and these verses of 19 and 20. That our mission of the church is to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. And our vision is a little bit simpler, and that's just taking Christ to the community. And that comes out of Matthew chapter 28. When we look at that passage in Matthew 28, I think we need to look at some things that Jesus is telling us as we unpack that a little bit. And I think as we do that, when we say, okay, go to the nations of the world, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that, I have to be a missionary? Did I have to go overseas? Does that mean that, you know, I have to work for a parachurch organization? And a parachurch organization is an organization that's outside the church where you raise your own money and you do things like Good News Club with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, or Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or whatever it might be that you're working outside of the church organization to be a missionary. And we look at Acts chapter 1, we're going to find here that Jesus narrows down that mission field a little bit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is very important when we focus on this verse as far as what our mission is. And when we look at this verse of Acts 1:8, it says that we start within and then go without. It means that we start within the community and then we branch out from the community. And that is what's so important the disciples didn't understand is, well, how are we going to accomplish this? And Jesus says, first and foremost, start in Jerusalem. Why was that important? Because they were in Jerusalem. They had ministry bases in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, start in your community of Jerusalem first. And then as you are going into that community, as you're building disciples, then begin to branch out a little bit further, and a little bit further, and a little bit further, until the entire world knows. So when we think about this mission and being a missionary, it doesn't mean that we have to go on a journey to a third world country. It means it starts right here in our own backyard. That starts right here in our own community in which we are called to do the mission of sharing the good news. It's interesting because Jesus said you can't make disciples of Jesus Christ if you don't start first in your community. If you just go somewhere else and say, well, I'm going to go and start building disciples and making disciples, he said that doesn't make sense because I placed you here for a specific purpose and reason, disciples, and I want you to start here to fulfill the mission. We've been placed here in this community as a church for a specific reason that God has continued to do ministry from this church as we start here in Columbia and as we continue to branch out from Columbia. That's important to realize that right here is our mission field and that each and every one of us are called to that mission field, to our community. We're told to go in our community. That can look in different ways. It can look in ways where some individuals might want to go door to door and knock on individuals' doors and have conversations with individuals that way. It might just be, you know, getting to know individuals in the community and building relationships with them. It might just be being involved with other aspects outside of the church in the community, and just kind of like just being involved and seeing what those businesses might be doing and just kind of letting them know that we're here and who we are. It might be doing a ministry like we do here at the church, whether it's the food giveaway we did during the pandemic or our Thanksgiving meal or the Wednesday night meal or the trunk or treat or whatever that might be that we do and offer here. It might be that aspect where we go out and we begin to kind of build those branches in the community. It might be building relationships with the borough and saying, okay, how can we partner together with the borough and how can we kind of work together as a church and a community and how can we kind of meet each other's needs there? You see, there are different ways in which our mission is carried out. There's not one set formula that if you do A plus B, it'll equal C. That in order to fulfill our mission, there are many ways to fulfill that mission, and people are gifted in many different ways to do that. Some individuals are prayer warriors, and the way that they are fulfilling that mission of going in the community is they are sitting at home and they're praying for the community. They're praying for the church. They're praying for us. Because it's very important to have those individuals that are praying behind the scenes of things. And I think back this year on Christmas Eve, and I think about our church and how we've been involved in the community and how we've been doing things in the community. And I remember on Christmas Eve as we were kind of just getting together and getting some things together, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to wear to service that night. And I remember the mayor gave me a call on Christmas Eve, and that was the day, if you remember, that there was several fires on Manor Street. And the mayor was not sure what to do, so he reached out because a relationship that had been built with the mayor, and he said, how can we as churches in Columbia help these families? And as a result, we were able to work together in the community to offer clothing, furniture. The ministerium was able to offer financial help. And those families were touched. It was great because you began to have a conversation with them. I began to actually be able to talk with them on the phone, the individuals that were affected by those fires, to hear their story. And just to say, you know, is there anything else you need? How can we help you? And they were just grateful for the aspect that a church or churches of the community cared about them enough that it wasn't just something you chalk off on the news and go like, oh yeah, there was another fire today and who got displaced? It was just a simple act of just saying, we're here if you're needed. And their lives were touched because of that, because they couldn't believe that churches in this community cared about them enough on Christmas Eve, let alone when they're getting ready for services and other activities, to say, you know what, how can we help you? It's relationships that are built in that way with how can we partner together that you begin to say, well, I'm doing this because let me tell you about God and what God's done in my life, and I've been called to help you, because that's what a church does. A church reaches out, a church helps, because that's what we're called to do. And it opens that door. A mission field could just be a simple conversation. It's interesting because when you sit down with individuals and you begin just to share about things you have in common, whether it's a football team, whether it's a favorite food, whether it's a favorite song or favorite music group or whatever it might be, you begin to build those bridges on that mission field and begin to open those doors that it might take a month, a year, or 2 years, where you're able now to invest in saying, well, can I share the gospel with you? It takes time, it takes energy, it takes all of us together to accomplish the work that God has called us to do, because we all are missionaries. We all are ministers of the gospel. I think back to the senior center last fall, an individual that was there, and as I pop my head in from time to time and say hi to them, and then I come out as they're waiting for the bus and stuff, and we have conversations, and several times there's a couple of them say, Pastor, can you pray with me? And I remember this one individual specifically was going through a tough time, and she said, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, sure. And all I did was listen. I didn't do anything with her. I didn't say, okay, do you know Jesus? Do you not know Jesus? I just heard her story. And she said, Pastor, if I go home, I think I might commit suicide. And we were able, because of our church, having the senior center here and having the resources and being our outreach to that individual as our church here, that that individual was able to get the help they needed so they didn't go home and put themselves in a situation like that. I didn't share the gospel with them. I didn't say, well, you know, if you were to die today, where would you go? It was just simple, just being there for the person. That's what the gospel's about. That's what the mission field is about. It's simply just being there in the presence of people and hearing their stories and letting them know they're loved, they're cared for, and they're valuable, and that they're important. But so many times we think of it the other way, where we say, well, we have to make sure they know Jesus, and so we make sure we pound them over the head with the Bible, we make sure that we get the gospel in as soon as we can, instead of saying, you know what, let's cultivate the relationships. Let's cultivate our ministries. Let's cultivate what we're doing so that when we have those opportunities, people will listen because of relationships that have been built. You see, everything we do stems from that mission statement of going and making disciples of Jesus Christ to transform lives in our community. What I do for this church and what I do in the community is not because, hey, I really like doing this, so I'm just going to do it because I'm doing it. It's because of the mission that's been called and placed on us as this church to go into our community to be disciples and make disciples. And that happens when we're available and when we're obedient. We've been talking about choice through this entire series of our focus series, that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to focus on the good. We have to make a choice not to get distracted, but to focus on Jesus. And we have to make a choice when it comes to our future, realizing the fact that when we look at our here and now, it shapes who we're going to be in the future. That we need to make a choice and say, what are we going to do now to help us down the road in the future? We talk about our mission, and it's a choice that we make. It's a choice we can embrace it and say, yes, I want to be a part of that. I want to make sure that I'm going. We can say, that's not for me to do. That's for somebody else to do. You might not see yourself as a missionary in the mission field, but you are. That the individuals in your community, your neighbors, wherever we might be. It's interesting because I'll show up places and people will say, hey, you're Pastor Tom from Columbia Methodist Church. And I'll say, hi, how are you? I have no idea who they are, but they know me because of the ministry this church has had in our community. They know me because I'm the pastor associate of this church, and they know us because of the things this church has done. That our ministry field is not just here on Sunday mornings. It's not just the activities we do. It's how we live our life each and every single day when we leave this place. It's what we do at our homes. It's what we do at our workplace. It's what we do in our cars. It's what we do when we get frustrated. It's what we do when people are watching us and we don't know they're watching us. It's so amazing to realize how many people are really watching us to see what we're doing and why we're doing it. And the beautiful part is when they ask that question, why are you doing this? And you're able to share, let me tell you why I'm doing this. And it might take several times before that conversation happens. You might say, well, we've been doing these events for a long time, but it doesn't seem like it's making a difference or impact. But yes, they are. You might say, well, why do we need to build relations in the community? Why don't they just come here? We got this beautiful church that's right here in the corner. Why don't they come here? Because, folks, the way church has been done has changed from when I was a kid. That we need to go out to the people where they're at and meet them where they're at. That we need to remember that we're not here because the community is what builds us up. We are here for the community. The community is not here for us, folks. And so many times we think that about the community when it comes to churches in general. Well, the community, we're here. And, well, they're here for us. Instead of saying, no, that's not what the Great Commission says. The Great Commission says we are here for the community. We are here to invest in them, to reach out to them, to pour into them. Not the other way around of, well, how can they benefit us? How can they build our church up? How can they come in and kind of pad our stats? It's not what the Great Commission says. It says we are here for the community. And that might mean the community is not coming in here, but it might mean that out there that they are coming if we would just go to them and just not force things upon them. You know, it's interesting when individuals find out that I'm a pastor, and when I've gone to several of Cody's football games when he was playing football, and you would sit there and talk, and people would find out, oh, well, what do you do? When you tell them you're a pastor, and they're surprised. Oh, well, you know, you're a pastor. You know, I didn't know pastors did that. I didn't know pastors kind of like, you know, went to football games. I didn't know pastors could have fun. I didn't know that pastors, you know, could, you know, like certain music, right? And people are all of a sudden enlightened by the fact of, well, I thought pastors lived a very boring life because, you know, you had to, like, do certain things and not do certain things. And it, all of a sudden they go, wow, you're just like me. That's what the gospel is all about, is just saying, we're just like you. There's no difference. We are just like you, no matter who we are. And we want to tell you about God and that story that he has for us, because we are just like you. And that's why Jesus says it comes down to what we say and what we teach. When we look at this, back in Matthew, it says, go and what? Baptize. Now, a lot of individuals will focus on the baptismal part and say, well, you're not a Christian unless you're baptized. That if you come to Jesus, you got to be baptized. If you're not baptized, then guess what? You're not a Christian, because Matthew 28 says, go and baptize. Jesus was baptized. So therefore, for your Christianity to be complete, you need to be baptized. Baptism doesn't do anything, folks. Baptism doesn't save us. Baptism doesn't forgive our sins. Baptism is an outward symbol of our faith. When the thief on the cross was dying, did Jesus say, hold on one second, I need to baptize you before you get into heaven? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But so many times we get caught up in this religiosity that we say, you know what? Well, if you want to come to know Jesus, then here's everything you got to do. You got to accept him, and you got to be baptized, and you got to do this and this, and then you'll truly be accepted as one of us. That as a church, we reach out to people, but in reaching out to them, we put conditions on things, and we say, well, in order to really be like one of us, this is what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to dress. This is, by the way, the type of music you're going to listen to. And by the way, you need to go in front of the entire church and give a profession of faith and tell them you're a follower of Jesus and then be baptized, and then you will be complete. It's not what the scripture says. Being baptized here is talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That Jesus gave the disciples all power in him when he said, I give you the same authority I have in heaven, saying, go and baptize them so the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and then they will know who I am and become my disciples. But so many times in the church, we focus on the outward things that don't matter instead of the inward. And we need to have God's Spirit to begin to fill people. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we teach. Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7 is very key to this. When you go back and you read Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, the people that were listening and the commands that he gave were right out of the Old Testament. He didn't intend for them to abide by those teaching by the letter of the law. He said that if you want to be different, this is how you should behave. He wanted to share them as a guidance for them. And we need to be lifelong learners. We need to be constantly growing our faith. We need to constantly say, God, I need more. I don't understand. When we have arrived and we said that we have it all, folks, that's not the case. As your pastor, guess what? I don't have it all. I can look at Scripture, and you know what? You might come and ask me a question. I might go, that's a good question. I don't have an answer for you. I've had many of those conversations with people. And you know what? They look at me like, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have all the answers because that's what you do. But once, as a pastor, I say, I've arrived, and I know everything there is to know about the Scriptures, then guess what? I'm sinning. Because none of us, no matter who we are, have arrived and will ever arrive until we are in heaven with Jesus and we have been granted full knowledge of everything. But that's the reason why some of us are reluctant in going on the mission field or talking to people in our community, because what if they ask me a question, I don't have the answer to it? What if I look stupid and they find out I go to church and I don't know what to say? Oh, then what? God never said we had all the answers, folks. He just said just to listen and build relationships. And you know what? You can always say, let me get back to you. And people will respect that as long as you get back to them. But if you just say that to get out of the conversation and you never get back to them, then they'll say, yeah, that's what I thought. They're really no different than anybody else. Because we need to watch what we say and we teach. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about knowing facts and figures. It's about loving others, being kind to others. It's about treating others the way we want to be treated. It's about those relationships. You know, it's interesting. Here in Columbia, we have a drug recovery house, I believe, on Cherry Street. And talking to some individuals that are associated with that recovery house, they said the one main thing that those individuals are looking for are not people to come alongside of them to quote them scripture or to do whatever. They're looking for people that'll just love them. people that will just share their story. You might say, well, I'm older, Pastor Tom, and what can I offer? People in those recovery homes are looking for older individuals that have life experience just to talk to them and share with them. They're looking for individuals to be an adoptive grandmother or a grandfather because of the fact they never had that experience in their life and they're struggling and they're just looking for somebody to love upon them. And it's just spending time with them. That's all they're looking for, is somebody that cares. Today we're going to be having a meeting for confirmation class, and it looks like we'll have a few individuals in our class. Now once confirmation class gets going, what if you adopted a student in the confirmation class? And all you can do is pray for that student. You just kind of write them a note during the week, whatever it might be, just walking alongside. Hey, how are you doing? I'm here if you have any questions. Just letting that student that goes to confirmation class say, you know what? I care and I'm here for you. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to do anything special or significant. Just check in with them to see how they're doing and to pray for them, to let them know that you're there for them, to reach out for them. You see, that's what we're called to do in John 13. For Jesus says a new commandment. He calls us to love each other just as he has loved us, and we should love each other. You know, it's really easy for us to love those that are close to us. It's really easy to put a lot of time and energy in those family relationships, even with those members of our family that might be a little difficult or on the edge, because we care for them and because we love them. It's a lot harder to put time and energy in relationships with other individuals because we say, I don't have time, or I don't know what to say, or I just don't relate to them, or somebody else be better at it than me. We don't put that same time and investment into it as we do our family. But as a church, we are a part of that mission field that cannot be missed, that Jesus says that he will go with us and be with us, meaning the fact that he will let us know what to say and how to say it. Because he's always with us. Genesis chapter 3, when you go back to creation, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, they sinned. Did God say, see you later, I'm out of here, I'm never going to talk to you again? No, God still walked with Adam and Eve even when they were kicked out of the garden in Genesis chapter 3. That although they were separated because of sin, God did not leave them. God still was with them, still communed with them, and still made sure they knew his presence was there. When we look at Acts again, chapter 1, verse 8, with the power of the Holy Spirit being given to us, that no matter where we go or what we do, we have the power of the Holy Spirit that is with us. And we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, but not the Holy Spirit. For you see, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in our life that goes with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the one that was promised to the disciples, the one that came on the day of Pentecost. That is what enables us to go and to be ministers, the Holy Spirit. The one that gives us power to testify of who the risen Savior is. You know, I wonder about the disciples, and sometimes I think I can relate to them when it comes to the fact that, yes, we know we have that power. And yes, they saw Jesus work, and I've seen Jesus work in my life, but yet we still doubt that power. We still doubt if Jesus will do what he says that he'll do. You know, like Peter when he walked on water and began to sink, and that was the power of God that was sustaining him. Or when Peter said, oh no, I will never, ever, ever disown you. I'll stand with you. And then he denies Christ three times, and then Jesus comes back to him. Or how about the sons of thunder? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Is it going to be me or my brother Jesus? Please choose. And they didn't get it because they were so caught with things. But yet, what did Jesus do? He said, let's refocus, let's get our attention back on our mission. And then the sons of thunder began to do great and mighty things for Jesus and his ministry. Because God's mission includes us even when we lose our focus. God's focus says, it's okay, just bring it back to me. You see, I hope that through this series that we can see when we lose focus, things begin to slowly slip away. That will begin to sink like Peter, as we talked about. But if we keep our focus where it needs to be, we could fulfill that mission of the church no matter how few of us there are or how many of us there are, because we all are in this together. So what is it that's currently in the way from us growing in Christ? What is it that's making us lose our focus on Christ, on our vision and our mission? Who is it that God is calling you today to think about that you might need to reach out to on this mission field to advance it? For I believe, folks, that as a church and as this church at Kalamea Methodist Church, that as we continue to focus on Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, that we will continue to see transformation and renewal in our lives here and in our community, that will flow out around us because of God's Spirit being a part of who we are and a part of this church. But so many times we get caught up in numbers and statistics that we lose the sight that God says where two or three are gathered, He is there in His name. That God can take somebody, one person, and use them to change the world. How about us today? Are we allowing God to do that? Because we are called for a mission.
To this morning's message, let's stand, and we're going to sing a song that comes directly from Jesus' words in Matthew 28. And our mission as a church continues as we make disciples, as we love our neighbors and obey what Jesus has commanded us to do.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Baptizing them in
may be seated. And we go because of what Christ has done for us. We go because we come this morning to the Lord's table and we are reminded that Christ came to be born to die for us. And we go to tell of that hope that He has for us. And as we come to the Lord's table today, let us prepare our hearts and our minds as we focus in on the whole reason we're here, because of God and what He's done for us and the commandment He's put on us to go. But that all starts with our focus. So this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, let us go to God in prayer and let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray so long ago. So let us join this morning together in our Lord's Prayer. For our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jean and Cody, at this time, if you would like to come forward. And at this time, if you're at home, if you want to go get the elements of your cup and your juice or tea or whatever you might be using, that we're reminded God's table is open for all. Everybody is invited to God's table. You don't have to be a member of this church because God's invitation is for all. So this morning, as we're preparing our hearts and minds, I just want to direct your attention as the cups are being passed out to the screen as we have something to focus our minds and hearts on today. For all are invited to God's table, and all are able to partake in His body that was broken for you and for me. On that night that He was betrayed, He passed bread and gave thanks and said, "This is my body broken for you and for me. Take and eat." And then he took the cup, blessed it, and gave thanks. He said, "This is my blood shed for you, the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink the forgiveness of sins. For this is what it means to come to the Lord's table, be fed, to constantly be reminded of what God has done for us as we're called to go and share with others. So come as you are. And as we conclude our time together this morning, let us offer our hearts and our praise to God, giving thanks to Him for allowing us to come, no matter who we are and no matter where we are. Please stand.
Please stand as we sing the song, "Send the Light." I think it's an older hymn, but I hope some of you know it. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, being imperfect is awesome. It's great because we live in a perfect world. We just have to be real to people. We have to make sure that people see the fact that we're real, we're genuine, and that we don't have it all together, and it's okay not to have it all together. But because of what God has done for us, that we're trying each and every day to better ourselves, become better individuals, to love more, to be kind more, to point others to Him. That's what the world is looking for. Genuine people, real people. And that's what we're called to be as a church. You don't have to be qualified. There's no qualifications. God already gave them to you. He said, "I'm with you into the end of age." There's your qualifications. Go, I'm there with you.
So this week as we go and we leave this place and we go into our mission field and we carry out the mission of what we've called to do in Matthew 28, let us go and let us continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to transform our community and the world. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.